This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever.
Greetings and welcome to Faith Moments, a weekly podcast where we proclaim and ponder the Sunday Mass readings. We are now into ordinary time. There's been so many special feasts with Holy Trinity and Pentecost, and even last Sunday, the feasts of Saints Peter and Paul, that we're getting back into some ordered time as we hit the summer season. And so this is the beginning of the month of July. Happy Independence Day for those of you listening in the United States. And so let's come together and begin as we hear the Word of God in prayer with today's collect for the Holy Mass. Let us pray. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, "Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her. All of you who love her, exult, exult with her. All you who were mourning over her, oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. For thus says the Lord, lo, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings, you should be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap, as a mother comforts her child. So will I comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants." The word of the Lord. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Let all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. He has changed the sea into dry land. Through the river, they passed on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. Blessed be God, who refused me not, my prayer or his kindness. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither does circumcision mean anything, nor does uncircumcision, but only a new creation. Peace and mercy be to all who follow this rule and to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make troubles for me, for I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to your feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.' The 72 returned, rejoicing, and said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name.' Jesus said, 'I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you've listened to any of these podcasts before, my voice is compromised. And in fact, I didn't record a podcast last week because it was just too awful for my voice to speak. And so I'm kind of stressing myself out to do this today, but I want to read aloud the word of God. And I want you to hear the word. And I want to encourage you again, even as you hear and think about the St. Paul and the St. Peter that we just celebrated on the 29th of June. These two pillars of the foundation of the church that is still alive today. The voice that they cried out when they cried out the truth. And think about the dust in the air, you know, and the disease of the day and the difficulties they faced, you know, the harshness of life. You know, I'm sitting in an air-conditioned room with light and electricity and running water. I have all of these amenities at my fingertips, thanks be to God. And yet here are the apostles, here are these 72, the theme, I try to bring out like a phrase for these readings, for the Sunday readings. Together, everyone achieves more. I learned this in doing, you know, a lot of business training. Team, what is team? Together, everyone achieves more together. And I think of Team Jesus. You know, we have to work together in Team Jesus to achieve more, to achieve eternal life. It's not alone. And even St. Peter and Paul, who were out there as leaders, they knew it took a community. It takes a community who sacrifices, for the other, who even is inflicted by the wounds of Christ, by hardships, by people persecuting you, by people rejecting you. A lot of rejection comes from being a Christian. A lot of rejection comes when you stand for the truth. Let's start with that. You stand for the truth. It's only one truth. It's not, well, you can be a man and I can be a woman and you can define how your body is or what your identity is. No, there's a truth in the biology of the creation of man, of humanity. There's a truth in gravity. I don't believe in gravity. Well, if you jump off that cliff, gravity is still going to win, you know? And so there's a truth that we stand on in the truth that created it all, Jesus Christ, the truth of what surrounds us is this amazing creation. Here's a line of St. Paul in Galatians. I was kind of looking at this going, boy, this is a little tough to unpack from St. Paul, just this little last section of his letter to the Galatians. But he says this. He says, for neither does circumcision mean anything, nor does uncircumcision mean anything, but only a new creation. See, there's something new when we discover the truth. There's something new. The Israelites, the Jewish people, were taught to circumcise. This was part of their relationship with God. This helped to identify who they were with God. And even Jesus was circumcised. You know, at the eighth day, there was a presentation of Jesus in the temple. But when the revelation of Christ came at the appointed time, there's now something new. And I think about the privilege I've had in walking with, in hearing the stories of people who have said, I'm ready for that new creation. I want to become baptized in Jesus Christ. I want to learn what it means to live the Christian life. I want to become Catholic. I want to start to know what this truth really is. And working with people who want to receive the sacraments, working with people who are willing to be courageous enough to admit, I have lived an awful life. I've lived in evil. I've sinned. I've done bad things against people. I've done things against other humans. I've done bad things. You know, we all should be willing to admit, you know, we've probably lied, cheated, and stole in some way in our lives. And when we realize we've got to live a different way, we've got to start to change our ways for a new creation. And we're starting to be willing to go a new path. That's an amazing road to walk. And we cannot do it alone. That's why this together, everyone achieves more. You know, we need one another. And that's why this gospel today that we hear from St. Luke, we hear the part of the story. And from what I've heard in some commentaries, St. Luke is the only gospel where we hear about Jesus sending the 72 out. And he's sending these disciples out ahead of him to prepare the way, right? John the Baptist is the main leader who's going to prepare the way. He was chosen as that final prophet. These aren't prophets. They're there to teach. They're there to bring peace. They're there to heal. They're there to be in the name of Jesus, bringing Jesus to the crowds. And those who are willing to listen, those who are willing to offer peace, will receive that. But Jesus also says that I'm going to send you into hostile territory. I'm going to send you amidst the wolves. There are going to be a lot who will be hostile, who will reject, who are going to kick you out, and even worse. So don't be deceived that everybody's going to welcome you in and feed you and want to listen to your word. It's not really your word. It's my word that's being shared through you. But what you are to do is to bring peace. Peace isn't the lack of war. You know, we have so many people who talk about we want to have peace, but peace comes from our heart. Do I will the good of my neighbor? I may disagree with my neighbor in my culture, in my language, in my belief system, but do I will the best for them? That's part of peace. It's the willingness to love. I'm going to choose to love my neighbor. And so many of our countries and cultures today are not willing to love the neighbor. Maybe because they want to possess everything and not have you have a piece of that pie. But Jesus is instructing us to go out and to share the good news. And the disciples come back, and wouldn't it be a whole nother amazing book to hear the stories of every 72 of these disciples? What did they experience? What did they encounter, person after person, household after household? We only hear a few words. You know, the demons were subject to us. They're kind of claiming a little bit like they had something to do with it. Now, they were instruments of God's peace. Yes. God used them. Yes. As God uses us. Yes. And we are the willing participants to bring God's peace. But it is all because of God that this happens. And Jesus reminds them, you don't get on your high horse like it's all about you. No, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the kingdom of God is at hand. And rejoice because of the end game. Rejoice because your names are in heaven. Rejoice because of the gift of eternal life. Don't rejoice in this victory today, here today, gone tomorrow. Stay focused on what's eternal. You know, a life of love. You know, peace, hope, faith, and love. You know, we need faith to believe in God. We need hope to lead us on the road to choose what's right, to choose the truth, to turn away from sin, and to recognize when we sin, to repent from that sin, and continue to move forward because we have a goal, eternal life. And then what should linger in our lives forever is love, is that willingness of the good for the other, of always self-sacrifice, of completely being loving, which is what St. Paul writes about so much. So rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Bring peace to the household. You know, you probably have, as well as I have in my own life, people who you want to embrace God. You want people that you love to know and to love and to serve God. Yes. And there are probably people in your life, as there are people in my life, who don't, who, whether they viciously don't want to obey God and are very, very avid about that in maybe a very hostile way, or maybe they're just so caught up in the world that they just don't put God in there. Wherever they are in the spectrum, you're meant to interject peace and love. And if your life expression of story of love, of peace, of hope isn't received, move on. Move on. Don't try to change them, right? Peace comes from a willingness to change from within. That's where the war is going to be won, is hearts being open. So what we can do is pray for those hearts. Pray for those hearts to melt. Pray for those hearts to melt so that the heart of Jesus can envelop their hearts and they can be filled with faith and be open to that faith and then start to have hope in what's real hope in eternal life. And then they can live a life of love. I'm going to end with this final thought. This month of July, in fact, the first day of July, I'm very familiar with St. Junipero Serra, which his feast day is on July 1st. St. Junipero Serra, responsible for many of the missions in California, also a great Franciscan saint. But also it's the feast of the most precious blood of Jesus, and the whole month is dedicated to the precious blood. There was a letter, an apostolic letter that was written by Pope John the 23rd, released on June 30th of 1960, about promoting the devotion to the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to read this last sentence or two of part of this letter. And it says this. I'm going to close with this as we just focus on the team that you're going to choose to be on. And I invite you to make that team Jesus. God wants all men to be saved, for he has willed that they should all be ransomed by the blood of his only begotten Son. He calls them all to be members of the one mystical body whose head is Christ. If only men would be more responsive to these promptings of his grace, how much the bonds of brotherly love among individuals and peoples and nations would be strengthened. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. God bless you.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.